Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hello and welcome back to all my fellow Driven Women. I have a very special guest for you today, Sarah Micatel. Sarah is someone I met online a couple of years ago, and I felt immediately inspired by her because all of my coaching clients tell me that freedom and adventure are in their top personal values, but few of us have actually created a life that demonstrates that the way Sarah has. Sarah is an American expat who has been living permanently in Europe for over a decade. And not only does she create a life of freedom for herself and others, but she also does so as a transformational coach, helping people gain freedom in their mindset. Today's conversation is how Sarah has learned to use the wisdom of the ancient Stoic tradition to create a sense of peace, grounding, and calm, no matter what is going on in the world around us. And I cannot imagine a more important topic nor a better time to be talking about it than right here and right now. So I can't wait for you to meet Sarah, and please do follow her online. Pay attention to what she's about. You can learn from her. She's very generous in her content on social media and has a wonderful podcast. And some of you may want to hire her as a transformational coach as well. But before we dig into this very timely topic, I need to share with you one of my recent podcast reviews from someone whose screen name is Miscrobo, who says, "Inspiring content, Diane. This is amazing. I love all the helpful information you provide and how you make the show worth listening to again and again. Keep it up." Well, thank you, Miscrobo, for this wonderful podcast praise. And, you know, I got to admit, podcasting can be lonely and isolating. So podcasters live for the reviews that we get from our listeners. We know you're out there, just need to hear from some of you. And I would especially love to know, do you prefer the solo episodes? Do you love the guest interviews? Do you like the balance between the two? You can DM me, you can email me, or you can send me a podcast review. All the links you need are in the show notes. Now, I cannot wait any longer for you to meet my very special guest, Sarah Micatel. I know you're going to love this conversation. Enjoy. Well, hello, and welcome back to my fellow Driven Women. As promised, I am going to continue to bring you one fantastic guest after the next. Today's guest, Sarah Micatel, is someone that I connected with, probably half a year ago, via an online community that we are both members of. And Sarah is someone I've had my eye on for a while because she is a podcast launch coach, among other things, which we will get into soon. But she has the best voice for podcasting ever, and actually is one of the people who inspired me to launch my own podcast, even though I've given up the dream that my voice would ever sound as good as hers. Our conversation today is about something that's going to sound very new to many of you, but is actually thousands of years old. Everybody wants to feel better, think better, live better, and happier. And many of us have gone in search of all kinds of ways to do that. Today, Sarah is going to talk to us about Stoicism, something new, but actually old. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me. And also, excellent pronunciation of my last name. Most people don't get that right. So thank you, Diane.
Well, I have Diane, which is a common name, but a funny spelling. And I've had friends for 30 years that still spell it with ease. So I try to be sensitive to that.
So, Sarah, actually, you've been living as an American abroad and a citizen now of the EU for, it's got to be over a decade now.
It is. I just had my 10-year anniversary, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, I'm an American abroad thanks to my Italian heritage. I was able to get EU citizenship, and now I live in England, London for a long time, but now I live at the beach about an hour south, which I love.
Well, that works perfectly well when you have an online business, doesn't it? You can do what you do from everywhere. And I believe you do what you do from everywhere.
Exactly. And that's one of the primary reasons that I went into business for myself, so I could be location independent and see my nephew more often, who lives in the States.
Many of our audience are entrepreneurs, and some of them are hoping to be entrepreneurs in the future. And I think these days, especially after this many, many months now, pandemic, quarantine, and everything that has happened as a result of that, the dream of an online business, a location independent business, I think has never been more popular. But you've been doing it long since before it was cool. And as a podcast launch coach, that's something you also know a ton about, because you have recently launched your, is it your fourth podcast?
Number four. Yes. They're like tattoos. I like to say they're like tattoos. Like once you get one, I actually don't have tattoos, but this is how I imagine it. This is what I hear. Once you get one, you just can't stop.
Well, I may be the exception because I waited until my 50s to get my first tattoo, and I only have one other, but I think about it all the time. So maybe it's the itch, I guess, I don't scratch. Stoicism is a big part of your new podcast, the name of which is Part of Something Greater. Maybe before we start digging into what Stoicism actually is, being a curious person, I want to know the origin story for the name Part of Something Greater. What does that mean?
Well, okay, so I will back up and talk a little bit about some of my other podcasts. So I am also a very curious person. I love traveling. And the first podcast I created was called The Postcard Academy, where I interview other women like myself who packed up everything to start like a new adventure in another part of the world. And so I love getting curious in that way. And I really feel like travel is the best form of diplomacy. You know, we live in such a divisive world right now. And the only way I see out of this is if we try to understand other people better. And that involves real conversations. It, for me, involves like traveling around. And so I really do believe that we are all connected. And this is a very Stoic idea. We are all connected. And I think we all want to be part of something greater. I think this pandemic has thrown a lot of people into serious contemplation of like, what is my purpose here? Who do I want to be talking to? You know, what business do I want to create? We're asking ourselves all of these deep questions. And it's not just to make money. I think we all feel purpose-driven and want to find connection and meaning in what we do. And so Part of Something Greater, this new podcast, is an idea I've been kicking around for quite a while. And I just felt like called to do it sooner rather than later, hoping to help some people find some answers.
I think the timing couldn't be better. And as a matter of fact, you know, because most of the people that I work with are entrepreneurs, many of them have this notion that to be an entrepreneur is to be all about the hustle and to work the 14-hour days and to work 7 days a week and do whatever it takes and be in the arena, and that's really the only way to do it. And your whole message, everything about the way you live, about the way you work, about the way you balance your life, even before this new podcast, really takes exception with that. And I think you're right. I think right now, all the time that we've been spending at home, all the time we've been spending alone, I can say for me, Sarah, that one of the most important things I've learned this pandemic year is that I really can focus when all distractions are removed, and that I actually need a lot less of everything than I thought I did. Fewer trips to the hairstylist, fewer clothes, fewer friends, fewer distractions, fewer amusements. And when you remove all that extra stuff, it sort of naturally puts you in a more existential place where you start to look at the bigger, more important questions. And that's exactly where you're going to take us.
Yeah, well, and I agree 100%. And I've been doing some of that. you know, life decluttering, I guess, myself in the sense like, gosh, I think I had subscribed to at least 200 podcasts, all fantastic. But I realized, you know, I don't need all of these right now. I can't handle all of them right now. So I've like curated that list. I've started to unsubscribe from a bunch of like emails that I didn't think I needed. I don't need, just to make some more room for more white space in my life and to focus on what really matters.
Did you find your way into Stoicism during this year, or was this something that was already kind of in your life, but it's now moved into front and center?
You know, it was in my life, but I didn't realize it was in my life. So I think I'm a natural Stoic, and the Stoics would say that's not impressive. That's just who you are. And it's true. And it's true. It's nothing special. It's just my personality. But I was in Athens before lockdown and was learning about Stoicism. So this was like February.
That's the birthplace of a lot of the Stoic beliefs and many of the Stoic philosophers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the birthplace of Stoicism. And so I was on this tour and this guy took us to the Agora, which is the old like ancient marketplace of Athens. And there's a recreation of what they call like a painted porch. And that's where Stoicism began. So they didn't believe in like being in these ivory towers. The Stoics believed in teaching at the Stoa, which is like the marketplace colonnade. And so that's why it's called Stoicism, and they're Stoics because they were out in this public place, the Stoa, teaching everyone how to live a good life. And the things that I was learning, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, that resonates with me so much. And I'll give you an example. Like Stoics believe, they preached all the time this idea of memento mori. They didn't use that phrase, but the idea is, you know, we only have so many days left. Like we're going to pass away soon, and we really need to start making the most of every day and living as if this was our last day. And that's something that I talked about on my travel podcast all the time. Like you'll never have this day again. Make it matter. And so when I started hearing that in Athens, I was like, this is the philosophy for me.
You know what? I don't know if you've studied Buddhism at all. And of course, there are many different branches of Buddhism. But I found my way into Buddhism about 10, 12 years ago through a chronic pain problem that just was not responding to any or all of the different techniques. And finally, my Orthodox Jewish doctor said, you might try meditation. Some people find that helpful. And one thing led to another. And next thing you know, I'm a Buddhist. Mm-hmm. And the philosophy is actually very similar, that we are all going to die. Each day we are here brings us one step closer to the inevitable. And to be mindful of each moment, which is to say open, curious, and non-judgmental. It sounds very similar, doesn't it?
It does sound very similar. And I'm sure there are a lot of similarities, but I've actually heard Western scholars say that what the West knows as Buddhism has been westernized a little bit by the people who have like brought it over and done the translations and stuff. So I think that's why there's a lot of echoes. And there could also naturally just be a lot of like universal themes, I guess.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's start with how you discovered that I think this might be for me. Let's say someone listening is like, I've never heard of this Stoicism. What does this have to do with me? And they too might actually be Stoic or a Stoic and not know it. So what might they be looking for? What types of thinking, what types of living and values, for example, would they embrace?
Sure. I think a good place to start is to differentiate lowercase Stoicism from uppercase Stoicism. So I think we've all heard the adjective Stoic, like, oh, he was very Stoic, meaning like emotionless and just bearing everything like a, you know, a soldier. And that's not actually what Stoicism is. So uppercase Stoicism is actually the complete opposite of that. So the Stoics believed in trying to minimize negative emotions like fear and anger and anxiety, and they had different techniques to control that. Actually, the foundation of cognitive behavioral therapy is in Stoicism. The ancient Stoics were the first cognitive behavioral therapists, essentially. But they believed in trying to manage negative emotions, but they were all about cultivating positive emotions like joy and caring about other people and what they call like living a naturally flowing life. So it's pretty much all about being a good person, caring about what happens to other people. And like the core tenet is, it's so basic, but so helpful. Like Epictetus said, some things are under your control and other things are not. Essentially saying most things are not in our control. And so whenever we feel ourselves sort of getting tight and getting upset and anxious about something, we need to ask ourselves, is this in our control? Is this in my control? And if it's not, we need to let it go. The only thing we can control is how we respond to a situation and how we act, and everything else we just can't be as concerned about.
That is absolutely compatible with cognitive behavioral therapy and with most of coaching and with Buddhism as well. I'm even just thinking about Christianity from the perspective of the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But boy, that in the moment when you get upset, and people have been so upset this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, social media has been a treacherous place. You used to be able to just visit there for a little bit of distraction or amusement, and now it's so vitriolic and so at times just aggressive and hostile and abusive and scary. I think, how do people avoid being triggered when so many people around them are being triggered?
Yes, social media over the last few years has just gotten so heated. And as you know, people are not even talking to each other anymore. And I personally avoid social media a lot. But if you wanted to try to take a stoic approach to like understand people, it's to get curious instead of getting angry. And so the Stoics would say, the other person's right in their mind. You might not think they're right, but something is going on in their mind where their point of view is right. So try to step into their shoes and figure out, why would they say this? You know, what's going on in their head? So maybe it's a political party that you don't like. Put yourself in their shoes and, you know, maybe they're misinformed. Maybe they are watching propaganda. Maybe they have a reason to, in their head, they're doing the right thing is like the Stoic approach. So just try to get curious and like put yourself in their shoes. But then also like you can ask them questions. So I think we all know that when we try to force our opinions on other people, that doesn't work.
It does not go well.
We are not changing any hearts and minds by screaming in somebody's face. So if you want to try to have a dialogue, like actually ask somebody why they feel a certain way or why they did a certain thing and just have them talk it out. And people are really surprised when you get curious with them, because often, as you mentioned, social media is a scream fest. When people start asking questions, you can start getting answers, and you can also maybe point out discrepancies or like contradictions in their logic, not in a mean way, but like, oh, well, you said this over here, but now you're saying this. So like, what do you mean exactly? And, you know, I think it's always helpful to have these conversations in real life and not just online. But like, that's one way that we can deal with all the vitriol and like partisanship, is trying to understand the other person.
Now, what about in business, Sarah? Because I mean, I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking of all the potential applications in not social media. Let's just set that aside for a minute, because that can be a dangerous and scary place. But I'm thinking relationships, friendships. Most of us are developing friendships online because we have considerably fewer opportunities to do so face to face. But you might assume that a person is more similar to you than they actually are. And as the conversation or the relationship begins to progress, some different viewpoints, some different philosophies and belief systems can start to emerge. And oftentimes I find that people's first reaction is, uh-oh, I thought this person was more like this, but they turned out to be more like that. How does a person train themselves in relationships to be more stoic? Do you literally need to kind of coach yourself in the moment where you start to notice yourself being triggered. Because so many people, they have a thought, they go to an emotion, and now their physiology is activated. Now they're agitated. Now they're upset. Now they're angry. Now they're scared. Now they're hurt. Now they're whatever. And so many people feel that once emotions have been triggered, they can no longer manage their thinking. But I'm sure that the Stoics have something to say about this in the moment. What do we do?
Yes, you are exactly right. And this goes back to those like cognitive behavioral therapy foundations where they did say they had something called like the passions. So when we feel ourselves starting to get triggered, those are like our passions. And they would say, like, pause, you don't need to act in the moment. I think we should all take a little pause before we react to anything, really. But like, pause and notice like what you're feeling. So what's happening in your body and what are the feelings that are coming up? Is it anger? Is it anxiety? And then think about the thoughts. Like, so what thoughts are starting to go through your head? Maybe you're thinking, well, I thought this person was cool. Now they said this. Are they really a jerk? And you can start spinning. So, you know, start thinking.
What would I have to be thinking to believe what they believe? Like, I wonder how they came to this viewpoint kind of thing. Now, once your mind is curious, it can't be upset and curious at the same time.
Yeah. Well, even before that, when you start spinning, like if you take that pause and like start analyzing what your feelings and thoughts are, take a step back from that thought and like, are they really a bad person just because they don't go to the same school as me, or they don't, you know, they don't do this or that? Like, start challenging your own thought about, why are you jumping to this conclusion? So really like that mindfulness for them is like being present and also not acting like with a knee-jerk reaction.
How do you think most people find out about Stoicism, if not through listening to your podcast or having a conversation with someone like you? Because I have not heard a lot of people talking about it, although I can't agree with you more, Sarah. Mm-hmm. The timing is perfect. I mean, the whole world is hurting right now, even before this pandemic. And people are, in some cases, desperate for ways to feel more in control, even if the world around them feels out of control. How do they tend to find their way into this?
Well, I think you're right. It's starting to get more popular. There are more podcasts, but I think there's also like certain people who have incorporated Stoicism to their business and they're just not crediting Stoicism, because a lot of well-being services that we hear about now go back to Stoicism. So gratitude journals, for instance, that is a Stoic idea. Meditation is a Stoic idea. Gratitude practices. So much of it might already be part of your life, or you've heard of the idea and maybe you haven't implemented it yet.
What are some other practices, philosophies, mindsets do you think are Stoic in origin, but we're seeing more of in business? Because one of the trends that I'm seeing a lot of in business, and I think you are as well, is people talking about having a heart-centered business or a purpose-centered business, and the social entrepreneurs out there, where it's not about making money, it's about making a difference, having an impact, serving a group of people, spreading a message, a movement, starting community. I would imagine there's probably a lot of Stoic philosophy that's fueling those movements. They just aren't putting that particular label on it. Sounds like what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned that their philosophy was like, we're all connected, we're all in this together, and we need to help each other out. And that was different from some of the other ancient philosophies that were happening at the same time, that were people were kind of like going into their own little realms and kind of staying segregated. And the Stoics were like, no, we need to be a part of society. And yeah, as I said, to just help each other out. And Stoicism is like a very internal philosophy to make yourself better, to be more self-aware. How can you improve yourself day to day? But at the same time, being part of the community. So even though it's a philosophy that's about improving you, you're not supposed to isolate yourself. You still, like, social justice is still like a very important thing.
So, because it sounds like it's something that you need to have a fair amount of self-awareness. And I imagine the people that are going to be embracing these practices, these philosophies, are people who are probably seekers anyway, people who are the ones I consider to be on the path of continuous personal improvement. They never really feel like they're done. They never really feel like they've arrived. They are always seeking ways to improve themselves as a human being, always looking for ways to improve their self-awareness, their self-expression, and how they relate to other people. As you were talking, thinking about it's an inner awareness path that also benefits others, it's reminding me of, you know, the whole wear a mask phenomenon.
Yeah.
The mask doesn't protect you. It protects others from you. And I think knowing that is one of the reasons why a lot of people aren't wearing them, because they think, well, I'm fine. I don't need to worry about anyone else. And you're like, you're not getting the point at all.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think Stoicism got really big in like Silicon Valley for a while as like sort of a life hack thing. And other people find their way in because they're seeking ways to live a more peaceful, tranquil life.
Without drugging themselves or medicating themselves or going into hiding from other humans.
Yeah. And so I think a lot of people who start finding Stoicism are those self-aware people. But then I think there are also people who want to feel more at ease and are looking for some tools to do that.
There's certainly a lot of stressed out folk out there right now. And I know part of your message and part of your coaching is that you don't have to be a stressed out entrepreneur.
Right.
You can be making an impact in the world. You can be making a living. You can live wherever you want. You can be helping people, and you do not have to be going out of your mind while doing it. What do you think you've noticed in terms of the benefits to you personally since you've really been diving deep into this and fully embracing it in your own life, and will be coaching others to do the same? How do you think it's changed you?
Yeah, well, a few big things that I think your audience could relate to quite a bit, but I definitely know what it's like to ping pong around to different things, to be like quite interested in a few different things, or you see different business leaders doing completely different things and you're like, oh, let me try this. Let me try that. Maybe I should do this. And you're not like sitting with any one particular thing for long enough to achieve success. You're just sort of like bouncing around, and that can be really frustrating. And I totally
guilty. Yeah. Hands raised and waving all over the place, I'm sure.
Same here. And the Stoics would say, like, slow it down and focus on one thing. That was like a big thing of theirs. And also, like, they believe that we are all here for a reason. And, you know, what is your purpose in life? And I think a lot of us can really stress out about that idea. Like, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing right now? And I just want to go back to the word curiosity. And I think that's going to be my word of the year coming up. But like, just get curious, explore what you really want to do. Like, what are your values? What do you think that you can contribute to the world? And then once you find your thing, like, go all in on it. Like, really, knuckle down and just focus on that one thing instead of like bouncing around to different things. So I would say like that was a huge thing. But then also they believe in morning meditation and evening meditation, and in a very specific way of when you wake up, spend a few minutes thinking about how you could be a good person that day. So you can have some like gratitude practice in there. There's four virtues in Stoicism. So wisdom, courage, justice, and moderation, and different layers to that as well. But like, how could I be a kind person today? How could I do something better today, or something that wasn't worked out? Like, how can I improve that today? And then also imagine what could go wrong today. Like, the Stoics say you should never, ever be surprised. Like, this pandemic, they're like, you shouldn't be surprised about any of this. So think about, and not in like a rumination, like everything's bad, everything is going to go bad, but like logically think what could happen today that I could like foresee and maybe plan around. Like, if I'm going to the airport, if I have a flight, for example, could my train possibly break down? yeah, that's actually a good possibility. So maybe I should leave an hour early instead of trying to make it to the airport by the skin of my teeth.
Oh, my goodness. You know, many of my audience have the traits of ADHD, whether they are officially diagnosed or not. And being late, overbooking the schedule, and always telling themselves, I have time for this. And that kind of like when you're on your way somewhere and you're passing by some place that you could also stop off and do something, it's that one more thing itis. And you just keep inserting one more thing, one more thing, one more thing, which of course, anything that goes wrong, even a single traffic light that turns red when you were expecting it to say green, can throw the whole thing out the window. So instead of doing that, just anticipating before you leave, what are the things that could slow me down? What are the things that could be unexpected delays? What could go wrong? And yeah, I better build in time for that because chances are something will. That's so logical. There's so much common sense in that. A lot of people will recognize the value in doing it, and they'll probably need a little help to actually create the habit because it's quite addicting to be always busy and rushing from one thing to the next. At least it's been for me.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm your ideal audience because I'm the same way. Usually I am always like rushing or like not giving myself enough time or getting distracted by something. But yeah, if you can spend some time like before you even get out of bed doing this. And I agree, like cultivating these habits isn't easy. So I like to say for anything, you know, try it for 30 days. Can you do it for 30 days or even try it for a week if that's 30 days seems too much. And once you start building it in, I find the habits are easier to take hold. So that's the morning meditation. And then the evening meditation is just a review of the day. So what went wrong? What could I have done better? Especially if it comes to like...
This is the 5-minute journal. You are so right that...
I stole it from Stoicism.
This is what I'm realizing, Sarah, is all of these things you're saying. I'm like, wait a second. There's a book, The Four Agreements, that I've read that I'm like, this sounds like it's got Stoic philosophy. Some of the meditations that I have become familiar with. The 5-minute journal, for those that aren't familiar, is like basically 3 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes at night. This is Stoic philosophy. Mm-hmm. It totally is.
Exactly. So yeah, so the evening meditation is just a review of your day. And especially when it comes to like our relationships with other people. So what went wrong? Did I exaggerate with somebody in the moment? Did I like get too mad about something? And think about what you can do better next time. And
without beating yourself up.
Without beating yourself up. And the Stoics actually said that, like, think about what you can do better next time and then let it go. Like, treat yourself like you're giving advice to a friend. So if you're talking to a friend, you're not going to like be berating them. You're going to be like, all right, well, you learned from this. Next time you can do better. And then they say, think about things that like did go well. And then it's like cyclical with the morning meditation. So if I'm saying like, I got like irrationally angry at that post office worker when they refused to help me, the next morning when you're doing your planning, say, all right, today I want to focus on being a calmer person with everybody I interact with. And if somebody
less reactive and
yeah. And if somebody comes at me just in like a total mood, I am just going to like step back, you know, realize that how they're acting is beyond my control, but I can react in a calm way.
Do you find that there are certain personalities that have a particularly difficult time learning and incorporating these philosophies and practices in spite of their desire to do so?
I don't know if I would say personalities. I would say maybe a scale of like healthy to unhealthy of awareness and how open people would be to trying something new and just to be in agreement that they have more control over their lives maybe than they think. And also you have to be in a place where, and this can be like a learned thing, but like letting go of some control and being okay with, like, you know, some people are going to shout at me and I don't need to shout back at them. And at first, I think that can be really uncomfortable for people because they're like, that person was so rude to me. They deserve for me to yell back at them. But that doesn't solve any situation. That's not going to make you feel better. That's going to, like, keep you in the zone of anxiety and anger. And so when people first learn about Stoicism, they might think, like, well, that's not fair. Like, why is that mean to be the nice guy all the time? But that's actually helping you. That's actually benefiting you when you can pull yourself out of that anger and anxiety. That's not serving you.
No, it's so true. I mean, I think you know that I was a therapist for many years before becoming a coach. And whether as a therapist or as a coach, or in your case, as a coach that teaches Stoicism, among other things, I think it's been one of the most difficult things for people to be willing to let go of is when you forgive someone who's wronged you, even if it's only in your own mind. People often think they're letting the other person off the hook, but they're letting themselves off the hook. Because if you keep grinding your gears about what this person said or did or didn't say or didn't do that you thought they should, they've moved on. They're probably not thinking about it at all. And meanwhile, you're still in the moment, replaying it, and experiencing all the emotions and, frankly, the toxicity in your own body.
Exactly.
From that level of discomfort. Meanwhile, the other person, it doesn't matter to them if you forgive them or not. It matters to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the Stoics would say, the best revenge is to not be like that other person, to not be dragged down to that level.
I think about the ways that baby boomers were, because I'm obviously a little bit older than you, the way baby boomers were raised by their parents. And I'm thinking about some of the popular parenting philosophies, like, you know, turn the other cheek and, you know, be the bigger person and take the high road and that sort of stuff. And I think that's why they were called the Great Generation, because that sort of the work ethic and the stiff upper lip and I'm just not going to let other people get to me, it was sort of elevated as a character trait, but it sounds like it's a very sane and rational way to live and save a lot of wear and tear on your emotions.
Yeah, I agree.
So Sarah, as we're wrapping up, we have all just been through a really rough year. I don't know about you. I started 2020 thinking it was going to be great. You know, the whole 2020 vision and all that, but I don't have control, do I? And neither does anyone else. And that's something I've certainly learned. And the Stoics have learned long before me. As we are now in a new year, and many people are hoping for a complete, fresh, clean slate, what is a philosophy that they can embrace and start to move forward with that is in line with everything you've been teaching us today?
Well, the Stoics would definitely say that the past is something that we cannot change. And so there's no reason to dwell on it. What's done is done. We are only moving forward. And if 2021 throws us some new challenges, we are just going to accept them with grace. And the Stoics would say, like, whatever obstacles come your way, take that up as a challenge. Like, all right, so this is what I've got now. I'm going to work around this. It's going to be even better. And, you know, if something bad happens, think 10 years from now, am I still going to be upset about this? If not, don't worry about it now. Let's fast forward to more positive emotions.
Yeah, like, why do you have to feel bad for 10 years when you can just shift your thoughts right now?
Exactly.
I love that. Sarah, thank you so much for being here for The Driven Woman. And I'll make sure that we include in the show notes how people can get in touch with you and hear about all the new things you're going to be doing, as well as your podcast, The Part of Something Greater.
Thanks so much, Diane.
Hey, it's Diane. Can I be honest with you? At the beginning of each new year, I always told myself, this is the year I'm going to get my habits dialed in. This is the year I'm going to be crystal clear about my goals and I'm going to crush them. This is the year I'm going to get my shit together on every level and I'm going to do it all by myself. Been there, done that, got a whole stack of t-shirts. But you know, it wasn't until I started working with my own coach that I realized what a difference it makes to have guidance, support, and accountability from someone who's not only like-minded, but like-brained. Yeah, I'm talking about another driven woman, entrepreneur, who also has ADHD and has got it going on. I have two openings in my signature one-on-one 12-week coaching program, and one of them might have your name on it. There's a link to a free consult with me in the show notes if you think this might be the year that you really get serious and go all in on an ADHD-friendly business and life. While you're thinking about that, have a listen to what one of my client's success stories has to say about the difference it made to work with me.
Well, one thing that you helped give me insight on is how sensitive I am. And because I'm an empath, being in traffic and loud noises throughout the day, just getting to home, that alone was really draining. And now working from home, it's like I'm able to conserve that energy. And working with the parents to really teach them kind of concepts and bigger things that have a bigger impact. Because one thing that you also mentioned was because I was working so much, I didn't have time to do the things that were meaningful to me. And that included learning, getting into the grind. You kind of just like, okay, well, I'm just going to do instead of really stepping back and looking at more strategic ways to have, a longer term plan.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.